Please turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I shall read if you kindly follow. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 8. But let us who are of the day be sober. Meaning to say, we who have the gospel, the light of the gospel keeps us in the day, in the light of the day, that we should walk always before God in holiness of life. If not, ask yourself, why not? Read again. Let us who are of the day be sober, serious, realistic, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, a foreign helmet, the hope of salvation, which we only have outside of Jesus Christ. There is no hope, nothing to look forward to except the punishment and the judgment of God. Thank God for this. Verse 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, as all the unbelieving world will have to face the wrath of God one day. But we in Jesus Christ have already been spared. On the cross, that wrath was taken away. Be thankful, therefore. Verse 9, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom be glory, praise, and thanks, and honor. Verse 10, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him? Question is, are you? Dear friends, coming here as a Christian, please come genuinely as a practicing Christian. It's not nominal. You know what is nominal? If you don't know, I tell you a very simple illustration. In China, they say, display a sheep's head and sell dog's meat. In other words, you are living a double life. If you are a believer and a Christian, live as Christ our Lord. Unless you do that, you are just displaying a sheep head and selling dog's meat. So be genuine, be true. Live together with him, walk together with him, and behave together with him. Verse 11. Wherefore comfort yourselves together. Verse 11. Wherefore comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as also ye do. Edify means encourage, help. Yes, don't criticize and irritate one another, but edify, help one another to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Help one another after this. Remind one another, are you praying? Did you pray this morning? I'm always very particular with my children when they were young, with all of us, with myself and my wife. Did you pray this morning? Edify one another. In the asking lovingly, we are encouraged. That's how we build one another up in the most holy faith. Why should we not do that? And just leave it to the pastor once a Sunday, then you come here to be edified? No, dear friends. We can send cards of condolence or encouragement or birthday or whatever cards and encourage one another. Edify, build up one another, help one another in the most holy walk with God. These are things we can do, even as also you do. Verse 12. We beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you. Be thankful for those who preach here, your pastors, your elders and deacons, and your visiting preachers. Be thankful to them. Say a word of appreciation. Send them a little card from time to time and say how much you have been blessed. You owe them a great debt because they are messengers from the Lord, and they come with great pains and preparation to give you the word of God, the pure word. Thank them, appreciate them. Verse 13. Esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. But this also speaks to those who bear that responsibility. Coming to stand at the pulpit is a grave responsibility, because you're responsible for all the souls, all those who hear the message. Are they getting the pure word of God? So on the preachers, there's a great burden of responsibility. Pray for them. And be at peace among yourselves. Now verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort them that the feeble-minded, those who are weak somehow. Some people are born not with a very high IQ, you know. Not very well educated, maybe. Do not despise them, but go out to them. Say an encouraging word to them. Encourage them always in the Lord, because they are feeble-minded, because they're easily frightened of things, nervous. Some people are. Not everybody has got your kind of strong character and toughness. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men. That's right, be patient. Do not criticize. Do not attack. Verse 15. See that none render evil for evil, which is in the world's language, tit for tat. This is the world's method. Let's forget it. Let's drop it. But the in Christ, do good to them that harm you, that hate you. Pray for them and bless them. And you will heap coals on the head. And you can do good to them. Why not? Continue verse 15. Be ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Now comes the key verse 17. Pray without ceasing. How was your praying this morning? When I first became a pastor, I searched my heart. I said, Lord, you have given to me a congregation for whom I am responsible. How can I help them in their spiritual growth? The first thing I thought of was, how are my people praying? Do they pray at all? I made a census, a referendum, and to my horror, and I think these people who answered, they were quite honest. Many of them says, we pray, yes, when in trouble we pray. And this is common. So many of them do not pray until they are in trouble. Are you one of these? It's common. Yes. It is the natural weakness. I go to a certain restaurant and I speak to the waitresses, witness to them. And those that come from China especially, I like to talk to them because I feel for them. They come 5,000 miles more just to earn a living. I said, you need the Lord Jesus Christ. And that waitress says, my mother is a believer, come from a place called Henan. I said, sounds good. I said, are you a believer? He says, no. I said, why not? Then I gave her the gospel, gave her the tract, and encouraged her. I said, you must pray. So every time I go there, I say, did you pray? No, I'm very lazy. I wake up late and there's no time. I got to rush off. Does that describe some people here? Wake up too late. No time to pray. You know what the Lord Jesus says? Pray to your Father in heaven. Pray in secret. Go to your room. Shut the door. Don't just anyhow pray. There must be a certain sanctity, a certain seriousness about praying. I'm going to meet my Lord, the great King of Kings. And Jesus says, do so, welcome. But go to a quiet place, shut the door, take away the telephone, chip away your stress times, and then meet together with God in secret. This is the meaning of prayer, because God is there waiting for you. Do you know that? Do you know what our Lord Jesus Christ is doing in heaven? Do you know? For our Lord Jesus Christ not only died and rose and ascended to heaven, but he is at the right hand of God, interceding for us, praying for us, remembering each one by name. For our Lord is concerned that you have put your faith and trust in him who died for you and rose for you, who is preparing a place for you, who is coming for you. He is praying for you. Are you praying with him? Do you meet him in prayer? In Sunday school, we teach our children, praying is speaking to your Father. Well, that is very easy to understand, isn't it? Which child of three or four, waking up in the morning, first thing does not go to mother or father and say good morning? So good to be speaking with Father. Do you have that kind of love for God that you cannot bear to start the day without speaking to your Heavenly Father and to confide in him? You have problems today. You have so many agendas, so many people to meet, appointments, and heavy responsibilities in your firm, wherever you work. Oh, so much depends on you. Why not come to the Father in heaven? And he is always waiting. The problem is not with him. The problem is with you. You don't go. He is waiting to bless you, to help you. There are so many people who come to me for counseling. I do not know what to do with my exams. Every time I open the book and I study, I get blank. It's not uncommon, you know, not uncommon. So we counsel with them. To one of them, I gave a chorus. Never fear, he is near. Look to no man, care not what the world may plan. Only trust in the Lord all the way to Beulah Land. I said, you sing this. Then pray and open your books, you find a difference. Why not pray? There are so many problems every day. And start the day every morning, pray without ceasing. Verse 17, please see there. This is for you today. And take it home, that little calling card size. But please change that. Pray with ceasing. To without ceasing. Please do that correction. If you can't do it here, go home and correct it. Then sing it. Then practice it. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, there was once a great prayer confrontation, or shall we say a prayer contest, to see whose prayer is better, whose prayer is powerful, whose prayer will bring results. This is recorded for us in a certain book in the Bible, 1 Kings, and we are going to read this and learn something from it, so that we all will understand that God answers prayer, and God in particular will answer your prayer. What is your prayer? Now, let's turn. 1 Kings, please. This story is quite familiar. Most of us have read it, heard it preached, and we all know about the confrontation between God's prophet called Elijah and the wicked, wicked king called Ahab. And his more, even more wicked wife called Jezebel. Now, does that ring a bell? All of us have heard of these names, haven't we? All right, now please. 1 Kings chapter 18. Find your place in the Bible. And this story is so exciting. And you will learn a great lesson. It's not number of people. Is not by force of numbers, is not by loudness of shouting. You know, once there was a pastor who thought the louder he preached, the more it results and the more powerful it will be, so that when he was in a certain place, you can hear him half a mile away. He says, louder the better. I'm going to show to you, it's not loudness, but it is purity of heart. If I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me. Psalm 68, verse 10. All right. Now, verse 18 of chapter 18. Here is the prophet Elijah answering the wicked king. Verse 18 says, I have not troubled Israel, but you, Ahab, and your father's house, you have forsaken the commandments, and you have not followed the Lord, but you followed Baalim. These are the idols that were being worshipped by the heathen nations, which have infected Israel. Now therefore, verse 19, send and gather me all Israel. First gather the people, and then gather the priests, to Mount Carmel, the prophets of Baal, 450, and their accomplices, their assistants, the prophets of the grove. Alright, here is the challenge. Elijah says, Ahab, you're king, and you think I'm the person who brought trouble to Israel. It's you, because of your sin, because of your idolatry. Dear friends, we all have been delivered from idolatry. Never go back to them. Never forsake our God. So here is the challenge. Elijah says, let's have a time, a place on Mount Carmel. You and your idol worshipping and your idol serving prophets, 450, gather them there, and I will confront you, and let the one who worships the true God be shown to all the people of Israel. Call all the people to come. So this is the setting. The day came. Now go on to verse 26. The idol priests, 450, did the act, built their altar, put the sacrifice of the bullock, and then they began to call on their God. Who is their God? Baal is a very wicked God, wicked idol. Verse 26, they took the bullock which was given them, they dressed it, that means they cut it up, and put the proper parts in the proper place, and then call on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any kind of answer at all. And they began to jump on the altar. What did they do? Number one, they called, they shouted, they screamed, they ranted and raved. Number two, they thought, not enough, now we must jump. So they jumped upon the altar. And number three, verse 28, and they cried aloud and cut themselves. Number three, they cut themselves. Have you ever seen this? Once I lived in Tiong Bahru, and there was a Tua Pek Kong temple, small one. And when you see the medium dance to make contact with the evil spirits, and they cut themselves with knives, with all kinds of sharp instruments until they bleed. So here is the case. It says here, verse 28, they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets until the blood gushed out upon them. This went on until the evening. Nothing happened except the priests, 450 of them, jumping up and down, cutting themselves to no avail. Now comes the answer from God. Verse 30, Elijah said unto all the people, come near. Who are these people? They are the wavering Israel, the people of Israel, people of God. Because for years they've been following Baal, worshipping idols. They have forgotten their God. Now Elijah challenges them, come near. And all the people came near. And he repaired the altar. And he did the most wonderful thing. Not only did he put the sacrifice on the altar of stones, but he poured water, buckets after buckets after buckets of water on the sacrifice. To show God's power is greater than water. You know what we use to put out fire? Water. And now Elijah puts water on the bullock. And then comes the prayer. Verse 36. It came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet came near and said, now this is his prayer. Listen, please follow. And you see, it is not a long prayer. It is not praying from morning to noon to night. It is not shouting. There's no need to jump around. Listen, verse 36. And Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob, or Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word, according to thy command. Dear friends, when you pray, always be sure what you are doing is God's command, that it is God's will. Any prayer that is away from the will of God will not be answered. We have this confidence that if we ask anything according to God's will, He hears us. That's all that is needed. Make sure that you're praying a prayer that is according to God's will. That prayer will be answered as this prayer was answered. Verse 37. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that these people may know that Thou art the Lord God. Is this God's will? Of course. God is a loving Father, patiently waiting for those who have strayed from Him, including Israel, who is gone to worship Baal. How sad that God's people worship idols. You say, I don't have idols. But if you are worshipping something else that grips your attention, maybe your career, maybe your hobby, maybe your motor car, or maybe your some other secret love, that becomes the idol, God will not hear you. Verse 37. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that these people may know you are the Lord God, and that you have turned their heart back again. Now that is a prayer, a short prayer. You can say that prayer in 20 seconds, half a minute, less. Will God answer a short prayer? We have this confidence. 1 John 5:14. We have this confidence that if we ask anything of God according to His will, pray without ceasing, dear friends, but pray the will of God. From this day forward, every day, make sure you have a special time, a special place, a special prayer according to God's will, and pray on without ceasing. What do you mean by without ceasing? I wake up, first thing is pray. When I have my meals, I pray. When I'm about to go out, when I start the motor car, I pray. At every important juncture, you pray. Because God is waiting to help you, to bless you, and to strengthen you, and to answer your prayer. But you must pray. You must show God it is from your heart. Now this is what Elijah did. And this is the result of his praying. Verse 38. Then the fire of the Lord fell. Amazing. fire comes from heaven. Do you believe that? Oh, my friends, I said at the beginning, one bomb fell down, 6th of August, and the fire that came out of it, one bomb, the fire out of it burned up 100,000 Japanese. What power! But God has power above that of 1,000 atom bombs. Fire from heaven comes down. Eventually this fire is going to burn up. The whole earth will be destroyed with fire. What must we do? Pray to the Lord without ceasing. Serve Him every day. Every day say, Lord, I want to be Your servant. Show me Your will. Show me Your will that I may pray according to Your will. Now, verse 38. In conclusion, fire of the Lord fell down and consumed the burnt sacrifice, including the wood, including the stones, including the dust that is the earth and the soil around it, and including the water. The fire licked up the water. Amazing. Dear friends, pray without ceasing. Now may grace, mercy, and peace from our great triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with each of His people, now and until the day we see our Lord Jesus face to face. Amen.